Hey everybody, this is Scott Johnson of Extra Life Radio. We decided, when I say we, me and one of our regular panel members decided that today we would do something just a little bit different. Normally, late in the week, I try to have a mini cast that deals with more of the same sort of stuff, usually an interview, something like that. But today it's a little bit different. It's been a very interesting week, as many of you know, and I've been struggling to figure out a way to sort of talk about this subject, knowing that it doesn't really fit into the normal podcast. So we're just going to call this sort of supplemental. This is an effort for me as the host of this show to kind of express some of the stuff that's been going on in my life in regards to the horrible, hideous disaster in New Orleans and much of Mississippi. And at the same time, maybe inform you about a couple of things that I think you'll find interesting. On the line with me is Brian. Brian, you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Brian comes from the fine land of South Carolina and so has some perspective on what it means to be in the South right now and perhaps the peripheral effects of this crappy deal and how it affects sort of outlying areas and stuff. Before I forget about it, I don't know what day it was, Tuesday or something you and I were talking, Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday there was kind of a mad rush to get gas.
Absolutely.
Tell me how that went, because you basically went out there to get some yourself. How did that whole experience go?
That's right. Let me start from the beginning. What happened was, and I'm a little disappointed in our public officials, especially around in this area. What happened was around probably 11 o'clock, I started getting some phone calls from different people giving me a heads up about different things that are going on. One person had actually called and told me that that around 12 o'clock they were going to close all the gas stations in Greenwood and they were going to be posting National Guard members to make sure there was no price gouging, make sure there was nobody hoarding gas, and make sure there was no fights or anything like that. So I was like, oh, great. So then I was getting ready and going to go get some gas before I did that.
Yeah.
And I got another phone call, and someone said they knew someone who drove a gas truck for the major distributor around here. And they said they had just delivered their last load of gas they had. And the main distributor for all these outlying counties around us were out of gas. So the only gas that was available was going to be in the pump. And so I was like, oh, man. So
yeah.
I finished getting ready.
Yeah.
Finished getting ready. I grabbed my video camera. Still need to try to transfer that to the web so I can post it on my website.
Sure.
But I got out there, went to the first gas station, and it wasn't really no rush or anything. So I was thinking, well, maybe this isn't as bad as I was thinking it was going to be. And gas prices were about $2.50 then. That's for cheap stuff.
Yeah.
And so
that's just regular unleaded, right?
That's just regular unleaded. Yeah. It was close to about $3 for the really really good stuff, but so I hit the road and I went road a little bit and I went to another gas station and the prices were like around $2.90, and so there wasn't really a big crowd there or anything, and there was no National Guards or anything like that. Like
sure.
I was fearing would be.
Yeah.
And this was after 12 by the time I got there, so
yeah.
I assume no, this must have just been rumor.
Yeah.
So I went down the road a little further. And there was one gas station that was right in the middle of town, and a lot of people go to it, but it's kind of small, and it was like only had like $2.50 for the gas, and it was just I've never seen any gas station in our little small town be packed like this. Everybody was in there.
Wow.
It took me close to about 30 minutes to get gas.
So were the cars were lined up, and you had to wait in a line that?
Oh yeah, it was lined up, and it was crazy how it was lined up too. I mean, it was even out on the main highway. It was all the way back onto the highway, and so it was causing traffic problems.
Oh,
but there was all kind of crazy people out there too, man. I got a little bit of footage of that too.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and there was this people in trucks, and they had like 5 gallon gas tanks in the back of the trucks, and were just pumping it in these gas gallons, just pumping them in.
Yeah,
and I was just waiting for somebody to freak out. Just waiting for somebody to jump out of the car and just freak out, but nothing ever happened. I was surprised.
Well, did they run out? Because there was talk and rumor about a lot of stations running full out of gas.
Right.
Did that ever happen?
They did. And a lot of the counties around us, the smaller counties around us, we're kind of the one of the bigger ones right in our area. Mm-hmm. And all of the smaller stations had ran out. And then we were starting to lose a few in Greenwood. But they never did actually run out all the way, I believe.
Wow.
But I was really disappointed because, obviously, you know, there's a lot of rumors going on in the rumor mill because every gas station a little later on that I passed was just packed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so there should have been a little bit more, you know, there should have been a little more public involvement where we had some of our officials saying, hey, look, don't go out and grab all the gas or you're going to jack the prices up. We'll get the pipelines run again here shortly.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't tell us none of that. As far as we knew, it was just no gas.
Yeah, it was get some or don't have any. So,
that's right.
So did you ever see, I mean, the rumor was the emails I was seeing that were going around, and who knew if they were, you know, hoaxes or what the crap was going on, but they were saying like $4 a gallon is what was going to happen that day. And I don't think anybody hit that.
That was actually a place in Atlanta, Georgia, that was even above that. I think it was close to like $6.
Oh, man.
So they're probably going to get busted big time for that.
Yeah, you know, that's total gouging, man.
Yeah. And see, we went the little highway here, and a little later on, I went to my mom's store. She owns a retail store. And we told her what was going on, and we had seen on the way up, gas prices were like about $2.80 at one gas station that we sometimes go to.
Yeah.
And we'd only driven by about 15 minutes before that. And she said she needed to go get some gas. So you got to go up there and get some because it's only $2.80. Nobody was really out there.
Sure.
She called me on the cell phone like about 5 minutes later and said that she was paying $3.50 for it. So
it
had went up in 20 minutes. It went up that much. So
that's just chaos. Well, so we kind of know how it affected some you know outlying areas, and even all the way up here, gas went up immediately that day to
absolutely.
It went up 35 or 40 cents a gallon or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you know we all got gas the night before, and you know the news was talking about it, so everybody ran out, and the gas stations were packed, and it wasn't quite as nuts I think as down there, but you know you guys have a direct route from you know the trucking and the pipelines, which both were shut down essentially.
That's
and
right.
So I can see why people would freak out a little bit. Well, my story about how all this stuff affects me is a little bit deeper, too. And I was talking to my wife about this earlier. When a storm hits, a hurricane, usually it you know nails Florida or something like that. And even when there's huge devastation, like Hurricane Andrew in 92, I remember that. And I remember thinking, oh, well, that's horrible, and here's the news about it. But then it just kind of passed.
Yeah,
and it didn't really affect me personally. Now, obviously, this thing that's going on right now is affecting a lot of people because it's just insane.
Okay.
The after effects of what happened and where it was located, and New Orleans being a big bowl like it is, and you know all these other things play a role. But I didn't really, you know, it never really affected me. Well, my wife is from a town called Waveland, Mississippi. That's Waveland, and it's a very small town. Brett Favre comes from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Favre?
Yeah, Favre's father, old man Favre. he's dead now, but not from the hurricane.
Yeah,
he died from natural causes, heart attack or something. But he was her driver's ed teacher, which is kind of a strange connection to the Favre family. But anyway, their longtime family's there. Kim's family has been there their whole entire lives, as well as many extended family and so on. Her hometown of Waveland, which fought pretty well and stood up against Camille back in 69, which was the last time something this bad happened, is gone. The city is
insane.
No more. It's smashed, obliterated, buried underwater, you know, however you want to describe it. That's pretty much what it's like. Her family, for the most part, is okay. And the only people we haven't been able to talk to are a couple of cousins and her aunt. We don't know where she is. She was in New Orleans last we heard, working at a hospital. She was probably fine. There's just obviously it's really hard to communicate.
Absolutely.
But so we have this, we obviously have this very personal connection to things. This Saturday, I guess tomorrow night, her great aunt, who's in her 80s, I believe, is flying here to Utah, to Salt Lake City, to live with us for whatever time needed to get her stuff worked
out,
because her house is gone.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, and she has childhood polio and can't walk right and can't take stairs. And so, you know, we're really going to have to take good care of her. There's also a few other families that are headed the same way. Yeah, and we will. We'll do whatever we can. But even all of that for the immediate family taken care of, there was still this sense of what else can we do? And so My wife yesterday, she teaches a bunch of scouts. She's a den mother for 8-year-old scouts. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so they were all over the house. She thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take these kids out. And we're going to go around the neighborhood and we're going to collect stuff that can be put into health kits and hygiene kits and sent down there and actually see if we can make a little bit of difference. So they did that and they got a lot of stuff, little, you know, good sized load worth of those kinds of items. And, it, you know, that was a good thing, something she could really do to help. Well, I get to work today and I start thinking around lunchtime, there's got to be something else we can do. And to make a real dent. And so I had this wild hair where I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post about this on the blog and I'm going to suggest that people can donate to Extra Life. Let's call it the Extra Life Relief Fund. but donate directly to us where we can basically show you, you know, from time of donation to who it actually helped. You know, a really close kind of microscopic view of what of where your money went. And I've never done anything like this before. I have no idea, you know, that I could even really think about doing it before. It just never occurred to me. And within an hour and a half of posting that news article, I had over $300 donated by Extra Life fans and readers.
Awesome.
One particular very generous donation, and I was blown away. I looked at this and I just said, are you kidding me? You know, I thought, it won't be that big a deal. Well, you know, I even suggested in the same article, here are some very reputable places to give your money if you don't feel good about doing it here. And
I understand that.
Of course. And what I'm finding is people are interested in doing something through something they already have a lot of trust in and kind of community with, and they have maybe they even have a stronger interest because they know that we're affected personally, and so they'll get to see some of the direct outcome of the work that we do with this money that they've donated. And so this is our chance to say to everybody who's listening, and even those who aren't, thanks for your generosity. It's insanely cool.
Yes.
It's amazing. And we are anxious and happy to take that money and go to work. Now, her dad is going to fly down near there and then drive the rest of the way in a week, if they'll allow it. We're still trying to work that out.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and he's going to go down there and help and do whatever he can. He's got a lot of family. His brothers are still there and so on, and their homes are gone. So he's going to help them clean out and try to find stuff and all that. But what we'll try to do is before he goes, whenever that is, we'll sort of document what we put together, where we actually inject the funds, and so that it, you know, gets to the most people the best way that helps them. And then we'll kind of document the whole thing. He'll even take a camera down there and, you know, kind of show everybody's generosity at work. So
that's going to be awesome.
It's totally cool.
That's
it's
great.
Totally cool. And so if you are interested in doing this, if you haven't already donated and you're willing to, go to the blog. I'm going to leave it up as the top item all weekend. And you can give, you know, anything. A dollar is fine. $2 is great. I notice a lot of people are giving $5. It's whatever you can do. Mm-hmm. And if you're already giving, well, then don't kill yourself giving again, because it's hard. You know, I know people's funds are limited, and I'm not here to, you know, we're not going to go buy a new Xbox and 50 games for this, you know, for myself with this money. You can count on that. This is too much of a personal experience for anything like that to ever happen. So while I don't have the proper papers for your normal, you know, donation type, or what am I trying to say? What do you call them? Charity. I'm not like a normal charity. I'm a freaking webcomic with a podcast.
Yeah.
But
you got a heart of gold.
That's right. We have a real chance to do something cool where we have direct ties to people down there, and so we can make a real difference. So if you do want to give, please do. You can just click on the PayPal link on the main page, just to the right of the comic over there, and give whatever you know, whatever feels right. And we will, you know, keep you up to date on what we end up doing. I think it'll be a really cool thing.
That's awesome, man.
The only other thing I wanted to mention was, and this is going to, well, this won't sound heartless, but this is one thing that's just always kind of bugged me. And it has to do with the way we sometimes do things here in America. So hear me out on this. This is totally off the subject of what we were just talking about, sort of, but New Orleans, I've been there, I don't know, a dozen times. I don't often enjoy my time there. It's just not my kind of town. No offense to them, but it's just not my kind of place. However, I was always struck when you go down and you stand in the city, you can literally see the ocean 10 feet higher than you are. When you look at it over the rise, you know, you'll see it over the end of the city. You're like, holy crap, look at where the water is. That's not normal. But the, you know, the levees kept it in, and without the storm, they would continue to keep it in. And I totally understand that. But they built the place, and I'm not blaming anybody in this century, okay, or the last century for that matter. But when they built this place or started to build it, I just can't, I don't understand that idea. Now, I tell you that because I've had this attitude all day of like, why would they build it there? Now they're going to have to deal with this. And it was always a possibility and blah, blah, blah. Well, my wife reminded me of something tonight. Bless her heart. She says, oh, and by the way, I should mention that she full on cried when she saw how much money people were given. She was like, she couldn't be more grateful. She'd be on here right now on the show talking to us, except she'd just break down. So
that'd been awesome.
Yeah. No more blubbering from her. She'll do it in private. She hates to do that in public. But
yeah, I know it.
But anyway, what was I getting at?
It's emotional.
Yeah, it's very emotional. But so she pulls me aside and says, look, we live on one of the largest earthquake faults in the world here in Utah. We live on the Wasatch Fault, and it's bad. It's like so if it ever shifted, it's more catastrophic than any earthquake anywhere.
Wow. Did not know that.
We're all toast. We're all just going to swallow it up in a big chasm of nothing. And so I realized my argument applies to the very place I live. So one day when it happens, people are going to go, oh my goodness, I don't know why anyone would ever build a house on that.
Yeah. That's funny. I've been down the same train of thought the last couple of days. I'm like, why would you do all this? We're now going to rebuild in the same area.
Yep.
You know, and they've already said that it doesn't matter how big, they can't build the levees, but so big, and it's not going to be able to sustain more than a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, period. There's just no structure that can handle it, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I was along the same lines when I started thinking, like around here, we have tornadoes.
Yeah. Yeah, you get them big and bad out there, don't you?
So, yeah, we still get big, bad. Who the crap would live where they have tornadoes?
Exactly.
What's crap's wrong with you?
Exactly. So so there I was saying that, not paying attention to the idea that this, I'd be down with the mole people and the chuds before long if we ever have the earthquake here.
Yeah.
Because it's,
I guess it's those people, most of those people are probably born there, and they grew up there, and they lived through that. So they
call it home. And there's no doubt that New Orleans has a, it has a almost mythical quality to it. It has a lot of culture there. Some of my favorite movies are filmed there. I mean, there's lots of, they got cool stuff. They've got kind of a gothic, kind of strange, ghost-like place there. And I don't necessarily like to visit it, but I do like the idea of it.
Yeah.
And so it's a horrible shame to think a place like that might, go away. It's also sometimes hard for me to say, they're going to rebuild right on top of that swamp again. And, it's a mistake and blah, blah, blah.
$27 billion to, was the original estimate, now it's over $100 billion.
Yeah. So, it's going to be a lot more too, I'm sure. That's just a freaking, it's the whole place it's Armageddon down there. But
it is.
So I'm a little less on that bandwagon of, they shouldn't rebuild it. Basically people should do whatever they got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I'm feeling buoyed up a little bit by the fact that a lot of people have survived that maybe statistically shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And that's good news. They're still finding survivors. That's also good news. And despite all this talk of looting and shooting and all that retarded lameness.
That is insane. Who are these snipers? I mean.
Yeah. Who's running around going, the whole city's flooded.
Yeah,
I'm going to set these three buildings on fire, shoot at the helicopters that are bringing food to everybody. And I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's insane.
It's totally insane. But at the same time, when I hear all that or read all that, I realize that is the unusual thing. The usual thing is people are pulling each other out of death. People are trying to help each other. And so it's newsworthy to hear some guy sniping at you. But
that's right.
It's probably one guy or a couple of guys, and they're just trying to, you hear a lot of talk about, there's no more crack for some people.
Yeah, I've heard that. For people who are committing, I've heard rumors that a lot of the suicides are because people who are druggies down there and they just can't get any drugs.
They can't get it fixed, right?
They can't get it fixed, and they're flipping out and killing themselves.
Yeah, it makes sense. And there's no mystery about New Orleans is noted for its drug problems. They have serious drug traffic problems there, and they have a lot of people that are completely strung out. So what do you expect to happen when your drug dealers
are... You can't find your dealer. I know it.
Yeah, you can't get gas, you can't get food, you can't get electricity, and you can't get your crack.
That's right.
So people are going to go a little bit nuts. I heard a report of somebody who went in one of the bathrooms there at the Superdome, and there's schmoo all over the walls. Ugh. And there's crack vials everywhere. Well, that adds up to mean somebody can't get their crack, so they're smearing their schmoo on the wall. You know what I'm saying? That is not normal behavior.
That is not. No,
those aren't
people.
Those aren't adult.
I hate
people.
To laugh, but that's just so.
It's
so insane.
It's just it's crazy. It is funny because it's so crazy. It's just like, come on. I don't know. I don't want to bash New Orleans because they're in a really bad spot right now, but it's still something to think about. You want to hear. We want to hear about all the good things that are happening, and there are plenty of those. And I'm sure the stories like that will, these kinds of things play out individually. It's not a big macro deal. You can't just go, today everyone had a great day.
Yeah.
Instead of
actually the news, CNN is kind of like, I've been reading that constantly, and they've totally taken a different shift. They've been talking about all the bad things, and now they're, on the front page, you see all these, these rescues and stuff, and people getting water and that type of thing. So
well, it's about stinking time.
Yeah.
And I tried to watch the cable coverage, and it was just so negative. It's like...
It is.
And I realize it's negative. I realize it's like the most hideous thing ever,
Yeah.
Natural disaster-wise. I totally understand all of that. But you got to find the hope and the goodness that can come out of this stuff. If that's, I mean, that sounds retarded, but I'm telling you, that's what makes people great, is when we can look past it and find hope and just really work to save each other. So I hope they keep
it up. Another thing I'm interested in finding out is how does this compare to other rescue operations? I mean, like, I know a lot of people are comparing this to the tsunamis.
Yeah.
Us dropping relief and that type of thing. How long did it take us to get that geared in? I'm just curious. How long is it? I know it's been, most of this started happening Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday let's see. The storm started really smacking on Sunday night or whatever it was. And then Monday was the bad stuff. And that's when we started first hearing about what was going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, here it is Friday, before anything is really happening. I mean, I know the government's big, and I know the military's big, and it takes a lot to make things move. So I'm just going to be curious to see how, after this is all over, how many heads are going to roll.
Yeah, because it's always like that. Everybody needs someone to point a finger at, and they'll probably point a finger at the government. And, in this case, maybe it's justified. Yep. They were pretty slow getting troops in there. Who knows why? Maybe part of it's because we got troops everywhere else too, and that's you gotta pull from whatever resources you have. But
that's right.
Yeah,
well,
the National Guards
are going today. We're just recent returns from Iraq, I believe.
Yeah, seriously, it's like take off your desert camos and get right back in the truck, and head down there. So yeah, we had a lot of guys from Utah here from the National Guard here go down. 200 and something were deployed. So I know there's a lot of people from a lot of states. We also were, I guess Utah was asked by the governor of Louisiana to help with refugees, basically. And people that just plain don't have
don't
a place to stay.
Don't call them refugees.
Yeah, I know. People are getting ticked
about
that.
For Pete's sakes.
So lame.
I don't understand that.
It's just a word, everyone. And they are refugees. Because, look at the definition.
Yeah, they are. They are refugees. So I feel like, too, they're afraid we're labeling them or something. Or the media is labeling them or something.
There's no label. It's basically this. If something came in here and blew my house apart, guess what? Yeah. I'm a refugee. Guess what? Yeah, that's what it is. That's the definition.
It would be kind of ridiculous to sit there and go, and look here, is all these Americans are right here. Of course it's Americans. We just told you where it's at.
Freaking silly, dude. I don't know. That kind of stuff. When people start bringing their own personal politics.
Yeah, a lot of politics
pushing
going on
it.
Right now.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't like that one bit. I did like that President Bush said today that it's just not it's a little unlike him. And I have my issues with Bush sometimes. But he got up and basically said our response was not enough.
Yeah.
And it can't happen again. And so, some people think, there you go. You've admitted fault. We knew we were right. Well, I see it as, that's the first start to getting better.
That's right.
So, if any good comes out of this, maybe we'll be a little bit more prepared. You know, we're this great nation with lots of resources, and we can't even, you know, take care of our southern junk down there.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice if we can, you know, pull
and
it
refineries,
together.
Is that the best place for, you know, a third of our refineries to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, and is it the best place for the country's biggest port?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, dude. There's got to be a better place. Holy crap. Let's pull it by sled dogs up in Canada. It'll be better.
And the whole world's getting affected by this,
of
too.
Of course.
It's not just
because
they're having to shift, you know, millions and millions of oils of, you know, barrels of oil to us.
Yeah.
So prices are cranking up in Germany and everywhere else. And
yeah, I mean, and we all know the truth. The very basic truth is if this storm would have missed or just fizzled out in the ocean, we wouldn't even be talking about it now.
Oh, no.
It'd be nothing. Life would go on as normal. Would we be any more prepared? No.
No.
No way.
Not even.
But we can be more prepared from here forward, so let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
All right, well, we didn't want to make this too long, so we're going to cut it a little bit short. But I did want to mention, if you want to read more about Waveland and what happened there specifically, there are parts of Mississippi that really took a dump on this that weren't, in some cases, the devastation's even worse than what happened in New Orleans. New Orleans' problem is mostly the flooding. Actual
By the way,
destruction's not quite as bad, yeah.
Head brick in there. There's actually an article on is what you was going to say?
Yeah, I was going to mention.
An article. It's a headline article on CNN.
Yeah, it says town nearly wiped off the map.
Yeah.
Survivors in Waveland, Mississippi have nothing left. This is an interesting article. You can find it on CNN. I also notice if you go to Google News or news.google.com and search for Waveland, you'll get a whole laundry list of articles that deal basically with the same thing. You can kind of see what my wife you know, is dealing with. Her childhood home is gone.
I can imagine.
And that picture on that CNN article is about right. Everything looks like that. So it's just flattened. It's crazy. I was down in Mississippi back in 91 or so, and I spent about 6 months in an apartment in Biloxi called St. Charles Apartments. Mm-hmm. And it's gone. It's completely flattened. And 35 people tried to stay in there, and they ended up getting killed.
Wow.
And I've got pictures of me in that place and out in front of it, and it was all totally normal back then, but yeah, it's just crazy, dude. This ain't no rainstorm, let's put it that way.
Right.
This is just horrendous. But yeah, so go check that stuff out. Again, if you want to contribute to the Extra Life Relief Fund, you can go to the website and donate at the PayPal donation button to the right of the comic. And anything you do there would be great. Regardless of how much we get, we will use it all to get directly to people down there that need help. And if you guys have any other comments, you want to talk about any of the stuff we talked about on the show tonight, email me at myextralife@gmail.com and tell us your thoughts. You can call in any audio thoughts you want to the Beef Line, 206-350-BEEF. And we'd be happy to hear from you. That'd be cool. So, Brian, thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem.
And
thanks to everybody who gave donations to it too.
Yeah, I
agree.
Everybody's
helping out. Yep.
And we'll document it. We'll keep track of what's going on. I want I want people to feel some satisfaction because they deserve
Absolutely.
It. And I know, and you're in a part of the country that's probably a little bit more on edge than all us Yankees up here, and so. So, stay safe down there and make sure you don't drive too much.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm trying to do that.
About it.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that too because I don't have any extra gas. I'll be siphoning off the lawnmower by next week, getting it where I can get it. So, all right, well, we'll go ahead and take off. Again, thanks everybody for listening. This has been the Extra Life Radio Show. This is essentially just a supplemental cast. You can expect our regular show to return Tuesday night, where we'll do another group cast. We'll be upbeat and hopefully on to some things that'll kind of take your mind off of this pretty hideous deal. So thanks again for listening. We'll catch you guys on Tuesday.
you're here beside me. Fly, fly, fly.